Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I am reading a passage of Scripture which I have taken from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. The writer of this epistle is the Apostle Peter. Peter was called by the Lord Jesus Christ to follow him. Peter was later appointed to the position of apostle. Peter was commissioned to preach the first gospel sermon after he had received the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Peter had gone to the household of Cornelius and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Peter was an outstanding preacher. He was an outstanding worker for the Lord God. He writes two epistles to those who find themselves in Christ Jesus because of obedience to the gospel of Christ. In this particular passage of Scripture, Peter says, "For the time past of our life." The Bible reminds us that we have a past. But the Bible also points to our future. The Bible shows us that our past does not determine our future. We can change our relationship with God. We can change our relationship with one another. We can change how we think, how we live. We can change our conduct from day to day. And because of this change, which the Bible calls repentance, we can have a relationship with God, and we can have a hope of eternal life with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and with the redeemed of the ages in a place that the Bible calls heaven when this life is over. I want us to think about this phrase, "for the time past of our life." You and I probably think from time to time about our past. We attempt to recall good memories from our past, but also from time to time there are bad memories. We may have memories of how we lived and how we conducted our life. The time past of our life. In the time past of our life, we were separated from God. We were separated because of sin and because of iniquity. Notice that Peter says, to those to whom he writes this epistle, "The time past of our life, we wrought the will of the Gentiles. We walked," which means that we lived, we conducted our life in this manner. "In lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." We were committing sin. We were living a life of sin. Because of sin, we were separated from God. In the Old Testament book of Isaiah, at chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, the prophet said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." The problem of the people to whom Isaiah preaches this passage was sin. They were sinners. They were separated from God because of sin. God's ear was not hearing what they prayed. God's hand was not extended to them because of their manner of life. The Old Testament prophet said, "You are separated from God because of your iniquities, and God's face is hidden from you because of your sins. God will not hear you because of sin." Sin separates us from God. Sin creates a gulf between the heart of man and the heart of God. God will not extend his hand to those in sin without repentance, without change, without a sorrow of heart, a remorse for the manner in which they have lived and conducted their life. God will not hear their prayer. His ear is not open unto them, because they choose to live in sin. The time past of those to whom the Apostle Peter wrote were walking in sin. They were in a sinful state. They were separated from God. When the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesian church in chapter 2 at verses 1 through 3, he writes of a renewed state. He writes of a transition, but he also reminds them of the time past of their life. You hath he quickened. The word quickened means that God had made them alive. He had brought them from the death of sin. He had renewed their hearts. You hath he quickened. The action of quickening one is the action of God. God performs his spiritual operation upon the heart of man when man submits to his will and obeys his truth. You hath he quickened who were dead. This is their past. This is the time past of their life. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church, to those who had been quickened in Christ Jesus, said, in times past, this was the past of their life. They walked, they lived according to the lust of the flesh. They fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind. They were by nature the children of wrath. They walked and lived according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. They served the devil. They lived according to their own will. They fulfilled their own desires. They did whatever brought them pleasure. They were in sin, and therefore they were separated from God. But God quickened them. You see, we can be separated from God because of sin, but we can turn, we can repent, we can change, and God will quicken us. He will renew our relationship with Him. He will bring us into a covenant relationship with Him, where we become His children when we choose to serve Him and walk with Him and obey Him. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul writes to the church which is in the city of Corinth, and he said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Notice, "and such were some of you." This is the church to whom this epistle is penned. This was the time past of their life. They were not able to inherit the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, because of their manner of life. They were separated from God. This was the time past of their life. Sin will separate us from God. We must not continue to live in sin. We must not continue to serve the devil. We must remove ourselves from the dominion, the servitude of the devil. We must turn ourselves to God and to His will. We must obey His truth, His gospel, and become a part of His church, the kingdom of God. But notice, when Paul writes to the Ephesian church and to the Corinthian church, he reminds them of the time past of their life. This was a time when they were separated from God, but now they are the church of God. Now they are saints in Christ Jesus. God had quickened them, made them alive, because they had chosen to be renewed in Christ Jesus. Our life is determined by the choices we make, by the road that we choose to walk, by the manner of life in which we choose to live. We do not have to live in the time past of our life, but rather we can be quickened by God, be renewed by God, and become what the Bible calls a new creature in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. 1 Peter 1, or 1 Timothy 1, verse 13, Paul looks back on the time past of his life. He said, "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. As a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious to the cause of Christ, to the church of God, he had now obtained mercy." The time past of his life, he injured Christ, he persecuted the church, he disobeyed God, he was separated from God, but he had obtained mercy. He lived in a state in the time past of his life in unbelief, but now he was a believer in Christ Jesus and had become obedient to the truth of Christ. In the time past of our life, we were separated from God. As we consider the time past of our life, we are reminded that our life is fleeting. Oh, how quickly our life has passed. Do you ever think about how quickly your life has passed? How swiftly the days have come and gone. We look back on that time when we were young. We recall the days of our childhood. And now we are old. The journey was swift. The time past of our life reminds us that our life is fleeting. It passes swiftly. It goes quickly. Job 7 and verse 6. This character of the Old Testament said, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." Oh, how quickly that shuttle would turn and weave that cloth. How rapidly that shuttle would turn. Job compares his fleeting life to the rapidity, the swiftness of a weaver's shuttle. You picture that in your mind and you see how swiftly life passes, how quickly our days come and go. Later in Job chapter 9, verses 25, 26, "Now my days are swifter than a post, swifter than a runner, a messenger who carries a message from one place to the other." They travel swiftly. They run fast so that they can deliver the message. "My days are swifter than a post." They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. Here Job describes the swiftness of his life. He is reminded of how fleeting life is, how quickly life passes, how one day swiftly turns into another day, and the days eventually become years. And where once we were young and vibrant, now perhaps we are old and infirm because life passes so quickly, so swiftly. Our life is fleeting. When we consider the time past of our life, we are reminded of the swiftness of life. In Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 12, the prophet said, "Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent." As shepherds went from one place to another, taking their sheep to the grazing land, to the pasture, they would put up their tent. Quickly they would take those tents down and move to another place. Isaiah said, our life is just that quick, that swift. Mine age is departed. As I look at my own life, I see that mine age is departed. I see that many years have come and gone. I remember when once I was young, and now I think that now I am old. The time past of our life has reminded me that my days have come and gone so swiftly, so quickly. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 24, The apostle says, "For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." Grass is green and growing, and then the winter comes. The months pass quickly, and the grass dies. The green fades to brown. The glory of man is like the flower of grass. We can be in our youth, our years can be vibrant, our body can be strong and able, and the years pass quickly, swiftly. The grass withers, the flower falls away. The beauty of the flower fades into nothingness. Peter says this is the way life is. The Bible reminds us that life passes so quickly. We must be mindful of the fleeting nature of life. We must know that opportunities are not going to be present with us always. We must be reminded that we need to take care of the priorities of life, and the greatest priority is knowing God and serving God. And the time past of our life reminds us of that, and we must be aware. James 4 and verse 14, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow," we do not know what the morrow brings. We can plan for tomorrow, but that does not mean that we will be able to carry out those plans, because we do not know what the morrow will bring. For what is your life? What is your life? Such an important question. "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Our life is like a vapor. It passes so quickly. The vapor can cover the mountains in the early morning, and by midday that vapor has dissipated and those mountains can be clearly seen. It appears for a little time. We are here but for a short time. Our days go quickly and swiftly. The time past of our life reminds us that our life is fleeting. The time past of our life reminds us that our life is uncertain. James 4:14, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." We must be careful in making plans for tomorrow, because those plans can be altered. The uncertainty of life can make our plans unfulfilled. The uncertainty of life can leave our dreams unfulfilled. We cannot depend on the morrow. We cannot depend on the future of life. We have no guarantee of many years, even many days. Proverbs 27, verse 1 carries this pearl of wisdom: "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." We do not know what tomorrow holds. Tomorrow could bring us the greatest joy, or tomorrow could bring us the greatest sadness. Tomorrow brought Saul and his sons death. Tomorrow can bring us the fulfillment of our dreams, or tomorrow could leave us empty and broken. We do not know what tomorrow brings. The time past of our life reminds us of the uncertainty of our life. Perhaps we planned and we were unable to perform. Perhaps we dreamed and we never saw the fulfillment of that dream. Do not boast of tomorrow. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34 counseled his hearers as he talked to them about the temporal things of life, and also spoke about the kingdom of heaven. He spoke about how those possessions of earth are but temporal and they pass quickly away. They can be gone in a moment's time. And how heaven is enduring and heaven is certain. Nothing upon the earth is certain. There is no guarantee about anything that we have. We can place our hope in great wealth and yet wealth be taken. We can place our hope in great success and yet fail. Jesus speaks of the uncertainty of this present life and the certainty of heaven. And in Matthew 6, verse 34, he says, "Take therefore no thought for your life, or take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." What Jesus means, I believe, is that do not count on tomorrow. Do not place your hope and your trust, and especially the salvation of your soul, in tomorrow. Take care of the important things of life now while you have the opportunity, while you have life. For tomorrow may hold death. Tomorrow may hold an end. We do not know what tomorrow holds. The time past of our life reminds us of the uncertainty of life. In Acts chapter 24, the Apostle Paul is speaking to a Roman governor by the name of Felix. He preaches a very stirring sermon. The scripture says in verse 25, he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. The Bible reminds us that we are to be righteous. The Bible reminds us that we are to be able to control our desires and our lusts, that we are to bring ourselves under the dominion of the rule of God. And judgment, we are going to be held accountable for the way we live and the way we conduct our life. We're going to be held accountable for the days that we have been permitted to spend upon the earth. Paul reasoned to Felix of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled. This sermon scared Felix. But Felix answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Felix did not use the opportunity that was now present. Perhaps he did not want to give up the life that he had. Perhaps he did not want to surrender the throne upon which he sat. Perhaps he did not want to give up the sinful life in which he was engaged. There are many, many reasons why people wait for a convenient season, but so many do. They count on something that of which they have no guarantee and no promise. The time past of our life surely ought to remind us that our life will end. Youth becomes old age. The youthful become the elderly. Hebrews 9:27, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." There is the promise that life will end. There is the guarantee from God that we will die. In Hebrews 11, verse 13, the writer looks at those ancient people of faith and says, "These all died." That is our fate. We will die. We know that we will die. We are reminded daily of death. We see death all about us. Perhaps we have buried some of our loved ones and know for a certainty that one day we will join them. In Genesis 48, verse 21, Israel said unto Joseph, "Behold, I die." Israel lived with the sure knowledge that his life would end. Our journey upon the earth will come to an end. We will be here but for a short time, and then we will die. Genesis 49, verse 33, "And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost, and was gathered unto his people." This is our fate. This is the event that will take place in our life. Jacob calls all of his sons together and bestows upon them a blessing. He tells them of how their life will be. And then he gathers his feet into his bed. He yields up the ghost. He dies. His spirit leaves the body. And he was gathered unto his people. He was buried. We will die and we will be buried. Ecclesiastes 12, 3 through 7 describes the end of life. It describes the age of the elderly. "In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, The strong men shall bow themselves. The grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. The doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, the almond tree shall flourish, the grasshopper shall be a burden, desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. I believe this passage of Scripture describes old age and the frailty that will come to our body and the surety of death that will eventually come. We will die. Our present life must be in a state of readiness. We must avail ourselves of the opportunity to know God and to obey His truth. We must be aware that our life is going to end, and we must be prepared for the end of life. We must be ready to meet God when the end comes. The Bible exhorts us to be in a state of readiness, in a state of preparation. Of all of the events for which we should prepare, the one event that is more important than any event is the end of our life, the finishing of our journey upon the earth, and we must be prepared to meet our God. 1 Peter 4:1-2, "For as much then as Christ had suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." How ought we to be living our days upon the earth? Certainly not to the lust of the flesh and to the desires and the course of this world, but rather we should live the rest of our time upon the earth to the will of God. Regardless of our past, we can turn, we can change, we can obey God, we can know God, and we can live the rest of our days doing His will, obeying His truth, walking in the steps of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how life is to be lived. 1 Peter 1:13, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." We need to be sober to the real purpose of life. We need to be sober to the truth that our life is going to end and we are going to be judged. We must hear what the Bible has to say about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. We are to hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are to prepare ourselves to meet Jesus and to stand before Him in the judgment. 25:13, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Jesus is going to come. This world is going to end. Humanity is going to be called into judgment. We do not know the day nor the hour. It may be long after we have lived upon the earth, but it may be also within our lifetime. But regardless of when, you and I will stand in the great judgment of God, and our eternal fate will be decided by the choices we have made, by the life that we have lived, by the conduct of our days upon the earth, and by our heart. We must watch, we must prepare ourselves for the fleeting nature of life, for the uncertainty of life, and for the end of life. 13:12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Let us not be regretful of the opportunities of which we have not taken advantage, that we have not used, but let us be mindful of the opportunity that is now present with us, and use our days, use our life in service and obedience to God. For the time past of our life, let us live presently for God, knowing that our future with God can be certain. Let us live with hope in truth and obedience to the will of God for the time past of our life. Thank you for listening to Talks from the Bible, which are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.